searching, he sought me out. Gave me answers, took away my doubt. When I was struggling to find my place, I heard the sweetest song sent to me from the throne. A song of love and grace. If anybody knows about the grace of Jesus, I do. I do. Oh, if anybody knows about the grace of Jesus, chains of sin and death and hell, said that I could use his name to defend myself. His power is my constant source of help. Oh, oh, if anybody knows about the power,
so glad to be with you today from Western Michigan Teen Challenge. We always look forward to Midland every year. And I want to thank all the host families who housed our students last night. And I have heard good reports from different ones how you enjoyed having the students in your home. We deeply appreciate that this morning. I want to just give you some scripture this morning. And in the book of 1 Corinthians, it says, "Now thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And then the scripture also says, "Now thanks be to God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ." And Philippians says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Hallelujah. And Isaiah 54 says, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper." 2 Timothy 1 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Isaiah 59 says, "When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against him." Romans says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." 1 John says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Deuteronomy says, "And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. So rise up, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." And the book of Romans tells us, "If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The psalmist said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquity, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. My friend, look up, our redemption draweth nigh." The scripture says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." The prophet Joshua said, "For me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And I want to say, along with Paul the apostle, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not unto me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." I just want to encourage you, saints, to keep your faith in the Word of God. God is not going to fail you. He's not going to let you down. He's going to see you all the way through. Now I can go ahead with the rest of the program. Amen. Amen. Yes. Praise the Lord. Amen. We have so many wonderful testimonies this morning, and I have them written down here somewhere. I thought I did. Surely I did. But I do not see them. So I'm going to go with Tracy first. Tracy, you come. Amen. Bless you as you share.
Yeah. Good morning. My name is Tracy, and I was raised in a town called Edwardsburg, Michigan. It was a small town like in the south of Michigan. I was raised in a really good home. I was raised in a home that believed in God. But just at a young age, I was one that I kind of snuck away, and I found alcohol. And I didn't drink all the time, but when I drank, the things that I did and the places I woke up, I just never thought would happen. And then when I was in my 20s and I wanted it to stop, the alcohol wouldn't stop. You know, I spent the next, like, 10 years trying to find anything humanly possible to stop the drinking, and it just wouldn't stop. But through his mercy, you know, he still stood by me. And he kept me alive. And then finally, about a year ago, I just got to the point I didn't want to die. And there was nothing left to try, and God was standing there. And I was able to come to Teen Challenge. And, you know, I realized that my problem wasn't a drinking problem. I had a soul problem. And only the blood of Jesus was the one that could help me get through it. And Teen Challenge was the one that showed me that. And they've... it's a beautiful place to find God and to have the Lord pour it into you every day. And it's an extreme program, I have to say that. But it took some extremeness to get through my thick head what I needed and what I needed to stay alive. And for that, I'm forever grateful to Teen Challenge. Thank you.
Amen. So. Amen. Amen. We're going to try to hang on to her if we can after graduations. She make a great worker. This is Holly, and she's from Muskegon. She's attended Assembly of God Church since she was born, but came a time in her life when she needed Jesus for herself. God bless you, Holly.
Hello, my name is Holly. I'm 28 years old, and I'm from Muskegon. I grew up in a Christian family. I had amazing parents. I had a great childhood growing up. But by the time I had got to high school, my parents got divorced. And from there, I just started drinking alcohol at a young age, experimenting with drugs, which led down just like a horrible path. I have been addicted to pain pills and heroin for 10 years. It completely ruined my life. And I'm a mom, and I lost my kids due to drug use. I've been homeless. I've tried taking my life a few times, and just completely gave up on life. I just came to the point where I didn't see the reason, like what my purpose was for life. I just felt like a failure. I couldn't be the daughter that my parents brought into this world that they expected, and I didn't feel like I was just worthy of anything. So every year, my life with my drug use just got worse and worse and worse. And now I look at it, and it was the prayers of all my family praying for me to keep me alive. I've known about Teen Challenge my whole life, and I was very stubborn and didn't think I needed help, and I didn't really want help. I didn't care. When you come to that place in your life when you just don't care, that's scary. That's a scary place to be. I've been in Teen Challenge. This is my 1 year. This month is my 1 year, and praise God. Yeah. It's nothing in me that got me through this year. I can tell you that. I can tell you it's all God. I can tell you that. But I can tell you how good God is. When I came into Teen Challenge, I detoxed at the center. As time went by, I wasn't getting any better. I was getting worse, actually. I went to the hospital a couple times and got blood work done, and they came and told me my liver was failing. I completely turned jaundiced from head to toe. I couldn't even look at myself in the mirror. I was 115 pounds when I came into Teen Challenge, completely just a mess. And one morning I was at a chapel service, and I, for the first time, cried out to the Lord. I said, God, please help me. Help me, God. I'll do whatever you want me to do, God. Just help me. And when you kneel down at the cross, there's healing, and there's forgiveness, and his grace and mercy is so sufficient. I can tell you this, when all those women laid hands on me that day, I felt something lift off of me. When I went to that doctor the next time, he looked at me, he said, I don't have an answer, but you're completely healed.
Yeah.
He didn't have the answer, but I do, and that's the Lord. but, you know, I just want to say that I'm graduating in July, and God's just completely restored my life. It's more than I ever could have ever imagined. He's just put things in place for me that I never could have dreamed or imagined. And my kids, I have my kids back. I see them every weekend. God's just got great, amazing plans for me, and I just love the Lord, and I can't wait to walk out this walk. And and I'm happy. So I love you guys.
Amen. God's made a real provision for her after graduation, and I can't share what that is right now, but God's taking care of this young one. I want Greg Elam to come. He was raised in Assembly of God pastor's home. He was raised by his daddy worked at the headquarters in Springfield, and so there came a time in Greg's life, though, when he needed help. I'm going to let him share it.
Well, I'm Greg. I'm 42 years old, and like you said, I'm from Springfield, Missouri. I grew up in church. You know, I sat back and watched a lot of things happen in church that really hurt me, and, you know, it kind of opened a door in my heart. I shut God out really hard, and I went into work in construction. I fell off a roof, and I hurt my back. Through that, I'm that guy you talked about this morning. I sat in church. I was a member of the church. I worked on my church, did construction projects, you know, and all the while, Satan had his little foothold in there, and I was taking pain pills. The doctors were giving it to me. I couldn't afford the back surgery. I got to a point where there was just utter hope and hopelessness and despair because I had to continue to work. I had to provide for my family, be that dad, that business owner, the guy in church, you know, helping people. I couldn't let people know. And church this size, I'm guaranteeing that there's people sitting here that are hurting, that are going through problems. It may not be drugs. It may be different things. But I didn't have any help from that. There was a lot of people in the church that all they did was look at you with judgment. There wasn't love and compassion. When I came to Teen Challenge, there was kind of an ultimatum on me. My life just utterly crashed. The drugs took me from a place of going to the doctor, getting medicine, to all of a sudden I was hooked. And then I started figuring out I couldn't live without them. I had to continue. I'd go to different doctors, and man, I went to trailer parks. I went to places just to keep that monkey off my back, all the while sitting in a pew. Every time, just there was such a shame and just embarrassment that came along with it, and I couldn't tell people. I hid it from my wife, my kids, my parents, my grandparents. My closest friends didn't know what was going on with me. I took my family down a road that, you know, I hope nobody in here ever has to go through this. It's been the most amazing thing for me. It put me in a place where I had to surrender to God or I was dead. You know, most of these people up here were in that position. What he's done, he's used Teen Challenge as a tool. Teen Challenge doesn't fix you. It's a tool that God uses. But if you're willing to surrender, if you're willing and just totally give that over to God, I've sat through the entire year. I graduated a month ago. God has opened doors. I'm working in the ministry now at Teen Challenge. I'm working in maintenance. I get to work with guys and just mentor guys and help guys, and it's really cool. I always knew there was a call of some kind of ministry in my life. I didn't know what that was. I didn't want to be a preacher, nothing like that. And I don't know where it's going to take me, but I know God's using me with the talents he's given me. And it's just so amazing to hear guys talk to you and just share how much they appreciate when you love on them and you're a friend to them. Yeah. You don't come with judgment. It's just really cool. My wife and kids have moved up here. My wife's working on staff. I talked with a gal on the phone this morning, text her. She grew up in the same church I did, went through exactly the same thing, and the drugs just utterly took her over. And she went through a Teen Challenge. She's being used. She's been there for 3 or 4 years working there. And she said it's so amazing that God would take somebody from where we came from, let us go down those roads, but take us back and use us. And it's pretty amazing to me. So what you guys do with donations and different things, I'm not a spokesperson, but it opened up a door for me. I didn't have the 30 grand for 3 months to go into a detox place that I was looking for help and I couldn't find it. I didn't have that kind of money. It helped me to get my life back on track, and it saved me, my family. It's helped my brother through this. He's starting to look into things. So I just thank you. So.
Amen. Thank you, Greg. Anthony, would you come? Anthony's mother and dad and wife attend this church, and he will attend this church. But Anthony has come such a long ways in this program. He's one among all the student body that I can say we admire him in the program. I think every staff member admires Anthony. Amen. So we love you this morning, brother. And I don't want you to be real lengthy because we're cutting times real short this morning. But anyway, I want you to share, okay?
All right, thanks. Well, my name's Anthony. I'm from Midland, Michigan, and this is my church. Bear with me. I'm a little nervous. I've got a lot of family here, a lot of people I've...
he told you had to cut it. I'm telling you, you can take after your pastor. You can talk as long as you want, okay?
Thank you, Pastor. You know, bear with me. I'm a little nervous. I have a lot of family and friends here, a lot of familiar faces, a lot of people I've hurt that I care about and love. But anyway, my testimony starts fairly young. When I was a child, I had a family member who began molesting me as a kid. That lasted for a very long time. And as I got older, I realized that that wasn't right. And but I made compromises and allowed it to continue. And for years, that has just made things very hard for me. My self-image has always been very low. I thought other people were more worthy than I was, were better than I was. I started turning to alcohol and drugs just to get through life. The things that were happening to me, like I said, I knew that they were wrong, and alcohol made those things tolerable. And then even after the abuse stopped, I continued to turn towards alcohol and drugs just to get me through the day. I've spent the last, I can't even tell you how many years, 15 years almost hating myself, and just I've been suicidal. I've attempted, you know, numerous times. All of those were just a cry for help. I just needed help very badly. I needed somebody to rescue me. August of last year, I had really reached a low point. My wife and I had separated, and actually I talked to Pastor Pat a couple times during this time, and I didn't know what to do. I was still drinking, and actually I was, you know, out of control now. I was going to work after I had drank, and I had two jobs. I ended up losing both of those jobs due to the drinking. And one night, I had moved back in with my parents, and one night, well, I was particularly depressed. I had taken pills. I was drinking. I don't even remember it, but that was the point I had really cried out for help. I've tried quitting in the past. I knew about Teen Challenge. Obviously, they come here every year, and I knew about them, but my faith was not there. I couldn't understand why things had happened the way they had happened. I wanted a reason for it. I wanted somebody to tell me why things were happening. I wanted to know why nobody had come and stopped it. And I was angry. I was angry at my parents because I felt like I didn't know any better. And that's who's supposed to save you from that. I've been angry for a very, very, very long time. And I've hurt people that I love, my wife and my kids. I have an older son from a previous relationship that doesn't even talk to me anymore just because I haven't been there. Sure. And I needed the Lord bad. And that night in the garage, I cried out for help. And I called a crisis line, and they sent the sheriff's department over, who picked me up and took me to the Midland Hospital and their mental health facility. So there, my wife came, and she's never given up on me, thank the Lord.
Yes.
And pitched Teen Challenge one more time to me, and by this time I was desperate, and I surrendered. I called Teen Challenge. I talked to Pastor Austin, who was the intake coordinator at the time, and he told me, you know, I didn't have anything. He told me, you know, it doesn't matter. He interviewed me over the phone and got me in there with just, you know, nothing at the time, and things have just been changing in my life. My wife and I are back together after Teen Challenge. after Teen Challenge, we're going to, you know, get back together and be living together again, thank the Lord. And just on top of that, you know, healing in my family, he's The Lord has healed my spirit. I have faith that I've never had before in the Lord.
That's it.
And it gets me through all these hard times, you know. And I still struggle from time to time. I talked to Pastor the other day, and I was struggling with things. But I believe now, and that belief is getting me through. And I don't know. There's so many things I want to say. I'm just very, very, very grateful. I'm grateful for the blood. Because Jesus can forgive me, I can forgive me, and it just, that's enough for me. So I want to thank this church. If I hadn't started attending this church, I may not be standing in front of you alive right now. And I want to thank Teen Challenge. It's a great place. I mean, there's always, there's a pastor available at all hours, anytime you need him. And these are pastors that have been in with the ministry for years and years and years that are strong in the faith. And it's just, like Tracy said, it's a difficult program, but that's what I needed. I needed structure. I needed love. And that's what they give. So I want to thank Teen Challenge, and I want to thank this church. I want to thank my family. I love you guys, and I'm sorry.
Awesome.
But thank you.
Standing for a moment, I want to take this moment to, of course, thank the Lord and give all honor and glory to the Lord. But on behalf of this body of believers, on behalf of your family, on behalf of this pastoral staff, we tell you that we totally forgive you, we love you, we accept you, and we look forward to the day that you will be back worshiping among us. I think this is a good place to take up an offer.
Let's do it.
That's what I think. It's not going to get any better than right now, okay? This is a service we just kind of run by however we go, okay? And we have this ministry here every year, and we always target a project. You might know a ministry of this size, 100 students plus, a lot of needs. And we always grab onto something. One year we bought them all new mattresses, and one year we bought them meat for a year, and so forth. We got a need here. They have two furnaces and two air conditioning units. They are both 26 years old. They're tired. They're causing lots of problems. And we're gonna bring in enough in an offering today to go out this week and buy two new air conditioners for this summer. We'll start there, okay? And by the fall, the furnaces, the cost is $8,000. Let's all give generously for this need. Father God, I just thank you that this people know your voice and they know a good place to sow. And now, Lord, would you speak to all of our hearts as to what we can give to provide totally paid for in cash two furnaces and two air conditioners. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you take an offering envelope from in front of you, as Donna and I have done? On the right-hand side where it says especially for, very simple four letters, WMTC, Western Michigan Teen Challenge. WMTC and your gift. If you're writing checks, make them payable to Christian Celebration Center. We will in turn mail one check to them. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I want to give to this need, but I need till payday or whatever, I get that. Pull the pledge card from in front of you. There's a pledge card right there in front of you. Fill it out and keep the reminder, drop the big portion in. If it's easier for you to go online this afternoon and give that way, you may do that also. But let's make all of our giving by the end of this day, be it online or by text or by envelope here in the service or by pledge card, so that we can get out to them as soon as possible, at least $8,000. And I thank you. This, my friends, is a good place to sow into. Ushers, please come forward. You can sing.
We have one or two more testimonies, but I'm going to ask Nikki to come. Nikki, would you please come? She's from Tennessee, isn't it, Nikki?
Yes.
Yeah, we have actually students from all over, and other directors even send people to our program. They just know of the structure. They know of the Bible teaching, and they just respect the program. So a lot of times directors up from other centers will send people our direction. Nikki's one of those. God bless you. We love you. And I think you should tell about the miracle, too, that it's not only a spiritual miracle, but a physical miracle. Bless you.
Hello, everybody. My name is Nikki. I'm 35 years old. I'm from Cookeville, Tennessee. I've been on drugs pretty much my whole life. It started at a young age of 14. It started with marijuana. And by the time I was 18, I'd begin using crystal methamphetamines. And by the time I was 19, I'd begin manufacturing them. You know, the devil paints such an alluring picture of sin, you know, and then before you know it, you're just trapped. And it seems there's no way out. You know, the devil's very powerful, but there's one more powerful him, and that's the power of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Come on, Nick.
And,
yes.
May 13th of this year, I had been on the run from the police for a year. I had ran my life into the ground. There was no much further that I could go. I knew that then when they caught me, that I would go to jail for a year, and I was also facing 4 to 8 years in prison. May 13th, I fell on my knees, and I just cried out to the Lord. It says in Psalms 34:6, this poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. And that's exactly what happened. I just threw my hands up and I said, God, help me. I surrender all my will to you, you know, because I have a very strong will. And within 24 hours, my bondsman had found me, and I found myself sitting in jail. But I had peace about it. I knew that everything had come to an end. And I knew that my life was in the Lord's hands. You know, I think I knew that I was coming to Teen Challenge before I'd even talked to Pastor Tim at the center in Cookeville. The Lord had just, he let me know that he had a future for me, you know, just to leave everything behind and to follow him. And the Lord's favor was upon me. I went to court and they reduced my 4 to 8 years felony charges to 2 years misdemeanor. And they let me come to Teen Challenge. And since I've been at Teen Challenge, the Lord is just, he's so faithful. I remember one of the first things I wrote in my prayer book, God, will you please help me figure out a way to fix my teeth, because years of methamphetamine use had just completely destroyed them. And within a couple of months of being in the program, Pastor had talked to a man that he knew.
You're leaving one part out, though.
Oh, my front tooth was missing. You know, it's so funny because, you know, the flesh ways and pride and everything, there would be, that's not something you want to share, but it gives the glory to the Lord. You know, he is so faithful. He cares about the littlest things, you know. Things that, you know, I was almost hesitant about writing in the prayer book because I felt that it was a selfish prayer. But the Lord knew that it hindered me from, you know, talking to people, just reaching out in general, because the inside had changed, but the outside, it hadn't changed. So the Lord made my outside and the inside look the same. But I've had $3,000 worth of dental work done, probably more than that, just completely blessed to me. And that's just the faithful people of God, you know, just being obedient to his voice. And I am so grateful and so thankful. But I've been in the program for 10 months now, and I just went home for my 5-day. I just got back Thursday. And it's amazing, you know, people that pretty much ran to get away from you before just flock to you now because you have the presence of the Lord in you, and everybody just wants it, you know, and it's just amazing. He's just changed my whole family. He's restored the relationships with my children. It's just, I love him so much, and I give him all the glory. You know, there was a parable in Luke 13 about a man had a vineyard, and he went to the fig tree to get figs off of it, but it wasn't producing anything, and he told the vine dresser, cut it down. And the vine dresser said, no, give it one more year. Let me dig it up, fertilize it. And then if it doesn't produce fruit, then we'll cut it down. And that's what the Lord did with me when he brought me to Teen Challenge. He said, give her one more year. I know she'll produce fruit. Because if I had been cut down, I would have been thrown into the fire. And I'm just so grateful that the Lord spared my soul and that he loves me. And I just give him all the praise and I give him all the glory. Thank you for hearing my testimony.
Hi,
Hi, my name is Maggie. Sorry, I'm nervous. I'm 27. I'm from Chicago, Illinois. I grew up Catholic. My parents are from Poland, very religious people. I knew about God, but I never knew that I needed to have a personal relationship with Christ. So I never really liked going to church. I just kind of did it because I felt like it was the right thing to do to obey my parents. I grew up with a loving family. They were loving, except my dad is he was a very abusive alcoholic throughout our childhood and through high school. And so we struggled with that. He hurt my mom a lot. And some of the kids had to kind of, you know, just always look after her, you know, take on responsibility that, you know, kids shouldn't have to do. And but I love him. He's a changed man now. But so I was always the oddball out in school, always I'm the shortest girl in my family. You know, I kind of always felt like just like I didn't matter. So I just kind of just stuck with whatever clique I could get into in high school and you know, grammar school, and just kind of did whatever. And I always kind of tried to search for happiness. I always had this hole in my heart, and I knew that life was more than just, you know, getting married, getting a job, you know, having a family and dying. I knew that there was more. So I tried to search for it, but I couldn't find it. And so I just, you know, people introduced me to drugs, and I loved the feeling. It made me feel like a different person. So and, you know, I've seen all the damage it did to my family. You know, a lot of my family members are alcoholics. I've seen the terrible things it's done to people. And I told myself I would never want to be like that. I never wanted to be an alcoholic. And I ended up being a severe alcoholic. I told myself I would never try cocaine. I ended up being hooked on cocaine. And I told myself I would never do heroin. And I ended up trying heroin. And, you know, it just led me to the path. Like, I thought I was just living a good life, you know, because I was able to get through college and everything, but I didn't want to live. I tried taking my life several times. I didn't care anymore. And I was actually, the Lord spoke to me so many times in the program, but the one time when I was in my mess, I was in the bathroom, and I was really, really sick, and I didn't want to live anymore, but I couldn't get, you know, I knew several times of me trying to commit suicide, it didn't work. And so I just prayed, and I opened up the Bible, and the Lord, I just opened it up, and I pointed to a scripture, and it was Psalms 13, is the second part. It said, "Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death." And I just prayed that out, and I remember waking up, and I just felt like the Lord was going to help me. And you know, a couple months later, my family found me in my mess, and I've been to another rehab. Nothing helped. And but the Lord is just so good. I've been here 10 months now, and I just feel like a whole new person. Like, I have the joy of the Lord. My family's changing drastically. Lord's speaking to me in ways I never knew. You know, I always wanted, like, a really good best friend, and the Lord is my best friend. He's speaking to me in ways that I'm just so blessed that I get to experience that. And I just thank Teen Challenge and all you guys for supporting Teen Challenge. Thank you.
I'm going to close with this song.
If you weren't there, storm. Your loving arms protect me. You shelter me from harm. You are Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. My strong tower, my dearest and best friend. And it was you.
Around from a young lady, I forgot your name, Nikki, who 10 months ago sat in a jail, knew that the whole system was on her back and she was doomed for that, and can stand up here with tears streaming down her face and saying, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Only Jesus can do that. But let me explain something to every person in the church house this morning, and I'm talking to you. I'm not talking to the people three rows behind you or three rows in front of you. I'm talking to you right now. The scripture very clearly tells us what these people all got sucked into, because every one of us, every person within the sound of my voice right now fills those same shoes. The potentiality of being sucked into a downward spiral in life that'll take you out. Let me share it with you. Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Ekthros, you hate God. Sir, I don't hate God. If you are a friend of the world, you hate God. I mean, you don't want to admit that. I don't want to admit that. But that's what the word of the Lord says. The word of the Lord says, we either, every person in this church house right now is either a friend of the world or you, I love you, Lord, I love you, Lord, I love you, Lord. And I know the majority of us, we could sing that song with the choir, I love you, Lord, I love you, Lord. But I'm really concerned about the person here this morning who's a friend of the world. You're toying with disaster. And here's why. The next verse says, do you think Scripture says without reason, now follow this closely, that the Spirit, that's not a capital S, it's a small s. I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit now. We're talking about when you were born with a spirit. Okay? It's a part of your being. It's a part of your makeup. The Scripture says without reason that the Spirit He caused to live in us tends toward envy. God risked your eternal existence on planting something in you when you were born. And that was a spirit that would envy, a spirit that would want. We all have an addictive nature. And God said, I'm going to run the risk to put in you when you were born, Jacob, an addictive nature. Because if I get into your life, I know you will want me more than anything else. You will literally be addicted to me, God says. And so he was willing to run that risk. And everybody in the church house right now knows, if you've let the addictive nature that God placed in you to go another direction than of God, you know that. You know that. And if you have, God brought you into this church house this morning to get that nature turned around going towards God. And as I was led to this scripture during the presentation, it came back what we had read earlier in the service. But he gives us more grace, and that is why the scripture says, God opposes the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. So the bottom line is here, if you're having issues with your addictive nature, and you don't acknowledge it, God says, I can't help you. I can't help you. But if you will simply acknowledge it, he says, I'll pour my grace out into your life. And I'll help you with this thing. And we'll get your addictive nature pointed in the right direction. So I ask you, how is it with you? This altar call this morning, we've been taught here at Christian Celebration Center that the altar is where we do business for God and with God. And before we ever go out those doors, we give opportunity for people to say, I need to do business with God. In a moment, we're going to have you all stand. Leon's going to lead us in a very appropriate chorus. And I'm saying to you, the altars are not open for everybody who is addicted to heroin. Come forward. The altars are open to everybody who says, I have an addictive nature, and it's not focused towards God. It's focused towards some other stuff that might be drugs, that might be alcohol, that might be tobacco, that might be sex. That the list is way long, you understand? And I don't need to even list the list. You know. You know. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I need help with my addictive nature, my counsel to you is when Leon sings on the very first word of this chorus that you will step out and come. Because if you hesitate, the enemy of your soul will say, you can take care of this at home tonight. You can take care of this at 9 o'clock tonight when AD is playing on NBC. No, you won't take care of it tonight. You won't take care of it tomorrow. Because the scripture is very clear. When the Holy Spirit beckons you, you need to respond. And you know if he's talking to you right now. Please, if you have issues in any part of your life, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus in a personal way, I know everybody in this room knows about him, but if you don't know him in a personal way, oh, for the sake of your eternal existence, step out and come to this altar and accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Let us stand. The altar call has been given. As Leon starts, I encourage you to come to an altar and do business with God.
Lord, I confess.
To come forward, elders, please come forward and minister to people. And our deacons, deacons, come forward and minister to people. Others are still coming. Sing it again. Don't delay. Come on. Come on. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. I thank you for the forthrightness of this people. We aren't ashamed to say we need God. We need God. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, to continue to work in this altar area, even after the service is dismissed, that people will remain in your presence until they know that they know that they know they've been with Jesus. Reveal to all of us how loving you are, how forgiving you are, how faithful you are, how gracious you are, how full of mercy you are for every one of our lives. And I pray as we leave the church house today, we would leave with a new awareness that we cannot be friends with this world. Because if so, we will hate God. I ask that the Lord would bless you and keep you. The Lord would make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. That God would grant unto every one of us a spirit that envies after God. In our going out, in our coming in our lying down, in our rising up, in our labor, in our leisure, in our laughter, in our tears, until we come to stand in his presence someday, where we will have thousands and millions of years to envy after his presence. In Christ's name. Amen. Have a good day. God bless you.